don't do it, they'll do it.
Thank you, Brother Gary. What a privilege to be back tonight in the service. We're thankful and grateful, Lord, to give us this time together tonight. Not only tonight, but the other services that we've been here this week. Thank you, Brother Gary, for the kind invitation to come. And thank you, church, for allowing us to be here. And I praise the Lord for blessings with health and strength and traveling mercy and grace, allowing us to be here in these days. And it's been my high honor to be here, as always. And so I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And thank you for your prayers. And please keep praying for us. As I've told you many times, Brother Cook would say, pray for me till you hear I'm gone, and then take me off your prayer list. I'll have it made then. Yeah. So I trust that you will do that. And I do appreciate your prayers and appreciate your continued prayers as well. And just want to encourage you to keep praying, keep praising, keep proclaiming the truth. Amen. Keep worshiping the Lord as you have been doing, and just keep on keeping on till He comes. Amen. He said, occupy till I come. Amen. And so sometimes that's all we can do is just occupy. We may not seem to be making much progress, but we can occupy what we do have, and so, and where we're at. So I trust you'll do that, and trust the Lord will bless you. I thought as I was driving over here tonight, and I thought about being here over the years and preaching here down through the years, different times, and I just thought about how faithful God had been down through the years, how faithful He had been. And I want to say thank God for His faithfulness tonight. God is faithful. That is, He is absolutely trustworthy. Amen. And I bless His name for it tonight. I want to read from Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. I want to begin with verse 21. There's three verses left in that chapter. I'll read the last three. And this is a familiar text to most of you tonight, but just want to leave you what's on my heart. Really been something on my heart since about, I don't know, Monday night, I guess, or Monday sometime or another. And I really thought that's what I'd preach tonight. And somehow through the night hours and through the morning hours, this got on my heart and the other just flew away like a bird. Y'all, you preachers know what I'm talking about. And I know it's there. I mean, I know what I thought, but it's not there. It is there, but it's not there. You preachers know what I'm saying. And the thought's there, but it hasn't got a hold of me. It's not a hold of me like it was, even when I went to bed last night. And I said to the Lord, this is a heavy burden. I said, Lord, I really, a burden to preach that on the last night. And then I don't, somehow through the night hours, the early morning hours, and even this morning and all through the day, the Lord replaced it with this. And I cannot shake this. And so I'll stay with that. Amen. Preaching is, one fellow said it right, preaching is not by education. It is by inspiration. Nothing wrong with education, but education does not qualify you to preach. Education may give you some tools that you can use in preaching, but it doesn't make you a preacher. There's just one preacher in the world. That's the Holy Ghost. And the rest of us, and all we are is just voices that He cries through. Vessels that He fills up. Mouthpieces that He speaks through. That's all we are. Amen. So He does it all. He just works through us. And so I trust the Lord will help us tonight. I do need your prayers. The Lord would help me tonight. Exodus chapter 33. Let's look at verse number 21. And you'll know this verse is when I begin to read them tonight. But it's what's on my heart. Now if you found your place, if you're physically able, if you are willing to do so, we do invite you to stand with us. Of course, by standing, we're simply honoring and reverencing the reading of the precious word of the Lord. By the way, we are praying for you and for the sick folks. I know there's many that have not been able to come back this week and been sick. And I trust the Lord will touch them and help them. I know there's been lost people came through. We're praying the Lord would touch them as well. I know He did touch them. Amen. And sometimes He touches them and they can't come or don't want to come back or afraid to come back. Amen. Try to get that past that feeling before they'll come back, you know. We pray the Lord will deepen conviction to where they can't stay away. That's the secret of it. And so we're praying with you about your lost people and those that are sickly, and asking the Lord to touch them as well. And I long for the day when we won't be worried about sick folks and no problems at all. Ain't that? That's a good land, amen, that we're headed to. All right, verse 21 of Exodus chapter 33, the Bible said, "And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. It shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." Father, how grateful you are, how grateful we are for the privilege to pray, how thankful we are for even the privilege to be in the service tonight, as well as the other nights and Sunday. And Lord, I appreciate, Lord, what you've done for us in these days. My heart has been stirred. My heart has been revived. I Lord, appreciate the liberty that I've had to preach the Word of God. I appreciate, Lord, the liberty that's been in the services. The prayers, the songs, the testimonies, and your wonderful and sweet presence that's been in our midst. We're grateful for it. I bow my unworthy head and lift my hands and say thank you for passing by and coming by and making yourself known and, Lord, speaking to us again. I pray for those, Lord, that are infirm tonight, those that would love to be here, their heart's desire is to be here, but they're hindered because of bodily afflictions and sickness tonight. Would you lay a healing hand upon them? Would you touch them tonight? Would you, Lord, bless them and do for them what only you can do tonight? Touch them, I pray. Touch those that have been here that are lost. Lord, you turned the searchlight of heaven on them. You lighted their pathway. They didn't respond. They didn't turn. They didn't repent. But would you have mercy on the ever dying soul and deepen conviction and woo them and draw them to you? And may the load get so great and the pressure be, Lord, so much that they'll finally cry out, "Have mercy on me," and look to the Lord and be saved. I bless Brother Gary as the pastor of this local body here. I give him wisdom as he goes in and out. Give him, Lord, understanding and direction. Lord, as he leads this flock, and help the people to follow him as he follows you, Lord, I pray. Bless every man of God. Bless every child of God. And oh, have mercy on sinners that may be in our midst tonight. Work your will in us now. Have mercy and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Help us now, Lord, for the next few moments, to be at our best, to send the cross, give us physical strength and spiritual power, to say and do what you want said and done. And may the Word of God go forth from these lips of clay in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. And may your name be glorified and magnified among us. Lord, what you're pleased and privileged to do in, through, and for us, we'll bow on with a head and thank you for every bit of it. For we ask everything in Jesus' lovely and wonderful name. Amen and amen. I thank you for standing while we read the scriptures and then while we prayed. Well, here the Lord has said to Moses, at Moses' request, Moses has said, "I want to see your glory." And the Lord has said, "There is a place by me." So I want to preach on that for just a moment if I can tonight. A place by me, or a place by the Lord. Moses was in a bad way as he was leading the children of Israel from Egypt to the land of Canaan. Of course, you're familiar with the fact that at age 80, Moses went back from the backside of Midian, my friend, and led the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage. And as they crossed the Red Sea and came through the great wilderness, they arrived here in chapter 32 again at Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb. As a matter of fact, the same mountain range and the place where Moses, my friend, had beheld the burning bush. And there at the burning bush, my friend, Moses had saw the glory of God. He saw the glory of God in the fact that God got in that bush and it was not consumed. Though it burnt, thank God it just kept burning and was not consumed. That was the glory of God. Amen. How a bush could burn with fire and yet not be consumed. Are you hearing me tonight? Amen. Thank God. And then not only did he see that glory of God in the burning bush, he saw the glory of God in the serpent. My friend, he saw when he laid the rod down, it became a serpent. And then picked it up again and became a rod. He saw the glory of God. My friend, in the fact that he put his hand into his bosom and it became leprosy. And thank God, put it back in. And God made it clean or white or healed it. Amen. All of this, my friend, caused Moses to understand if God could do these great miracles, if God's glory could accomplish these things, then he should go out of Egypt and lead the people out. Are you hearing me? I think the difference when he first tried to lead them out at age 40 and now at age 80, at age 40, he looked at his training as a military leader. He looked at the things he had learned in the colleges and universities of the land of Egypt. Are you hearing me? He looked to his own strength, his own ability, thank God, his own wisdom. But when that faltered and that failed, and he went to the backside of the desert and spent 40 years, and God emptied all of that out at him. Yeah. Now, thank God, he shows him his glory. Amen. May I say this? If any of us accomplish anything for God, if any of us, my friend, are able to do a work for God, it'll be because we have witnessed his glory. Amen. Are you listening to me? He always shows the glory. Thank God. He doesn't show the suffering. He doesn't show the sorrow. He doesn't show the heartbreak. He doesn't show the disappointments. He doesn't show, thank God, what's between us and the glory. But he shows us in the end that there will be glory. As a matter of fact, he said to Moses, if you'll go get the people and bring them out of Egypt, you'll come by the same mountain and worship me on this mountain. Amen. Are you listening? God shows us the glory. Then God lets us experience the grief of my friend that goes, my friend, with living for him, following him, obeying him. Amen. And then, God, he extends to us the grace. Amen. To help us to get up from the grief to the glory. And when we get to the glory, we understand it wasn't us that got us there, but it was his grace. It was him and him alone. Thank God, he's the shepherd. We're just the sheep. Thank God, he's the Lord. We're just the servants. Anybody hear me tonight? And without him, we can do nothing. So Moses is back to the top of the mountain where he first saw the burning bush, and he's spending 40 days there, and the Lord has given him, thank God, on the tablets of stone, the commandments and the laws that he wants his people to live by and to go by. Amen. But while Moses is there, the people turn quickly out of the way. Amen. The Lord sees it and says to Moses, get down. Thank God, get back down to the camp. Get back to where the people are. They have turned quickly out of the way. Amen.
I'm amazed. I'm amazed over the years. Thank God how folks, my friend, how they talked about God and bragged about God. I seem to be such a bold witness. I pledged such a life to live for the Lord. And then trials and difficulties come. And the next thing you know, they turn quickly out of the way.
Amen. What a generation that has turned quickly out of following the Lord tonight. So here's Moses. Hey, God, and the Lord sends him down, back down to the camp, for the Lord sees what they've done, and Moses comes into the camp. Now, may I remind you, he's up there doing exactly what God told him to do. He's worshiping. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He's worshiping God on the mountain, but they're worshiping the golden calf down in the valley. Are you listening to me? Thank God. He's worshiping and thinks everything's well and does not realize that Aaron has made a golden calf and they're dancing naked around the golden calf. He thinks everything is well. They'll wait till he comes back down. They saw the fire. They heard the thunder. My friend, they saw the lightning. Are you hearing me? They heard the rumbling of God's voice. Oh, are you hearing me? But all of that, I could not stop him from going quickly out of the way. And worshiping, not God, but worshiping, thank God, the golden calf. And as Aaron said to him, these be the gods that brought you out of Egypt. Amen. Hallelujah. And so he's up there worshiping. Can I say to you, verse 16 said the tables that God gave him were the work of God. The Bible said he's not only worshiping and getting the work of God. The Bible said the writing was of God.
Yeah, right.
Moses didn't do the writing. God wrote with his own finger on those tables of stone. Hallelujah. Amen. But when he gets back down to the camp, picks up Joshua somewhere between the top of the mountain and where the camp is. Hey, God. Oh, and they're singing in the camp. And he arrives into the camp. The Bible said in verse number 19, Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand and broke them before the mount. So I'm going to say to you, he broke the tablets. What they were doing caused him to break the tablets. Broke his worship. Broke the work of God. Broke the writing of God. Because he got angry with what they were doing. Is anybody listening tonight? Oh, how careful we must be, thank God, in the Christian life tonight when others turn quickly out of the way, and when others are worshiping the golden calf, and when others have turned from what God has said, that we do not get angry, and it causes us to break what God has given us. Oh, many a husband has got angry at his wife because of her lack of spirituality. Thank God, and broke the tablets of the Lord, the worship, the work, and the writing. Many a wife, because of her husband, she's got angry and broke what God gave her. Many a parent, because their children have turned from the wrong way, the right way, went the wrong way, have got angry about it and broke what God gave. Anybody hearing me tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. And many a pastor, thank God, has broke what God given them because the people were not following the Lord. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Oh, it's easy now to get angry. No wonder that Bible said, be ye angry and sin not. Hallelujah. Now, if you found the secret of that, if you found the secret of how you can allow yourself to be angry and then not sin after you're angry, don't talk to you at church. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, when I get angry, thank God, it's then I'm predisposed, I am tempted, and it's easy for me, thank God, to take that next step and say what I don't need to say and think what I don't need to think and act like I don't need to act and react like I don't need to react. Anybody hearing me tonight?
Am I just preaching to myself tonight? Oh, God, help us. I'm telling you. Oh, God, help us. No wonder even a requirement of the man of God, the bishop, the pastor of the church, is not soon angry. Is anybody listening? Hallelujah. Amen. Bless His name. Thank God. And so, the reason Moses is in a bad way, because he broke the tablets. Not only is he in a bad way, but in verse number, thank God, 20, he burnt the calf. He burnt the calf in the fire. Thank God. Amen. And strode it in the water and made him drink it. Are y'all listening to me tonight? Hallelujah. Not only did he break the tablets and burn the calf, thank God, but in verse 28, he buried 3,000 men. Well, the Bible said they were dancing naked around the golden calf.
Yeah.
Are y'all listening to me? Hey, God, help us. Thank God. And as they were dancing naked before the golden calf and caused the shame before their enemies, Moses said, "Who's on the Lord's side?" And said to the Levites, "I go in and out and kill brother and neighbor and friend." And they slew 3,000. Anybody hear me tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, my. And Moses had to bury 3,000 people because of what took place.
Yeah.
In this situation. Only thing, it ain't getting better for Moses. It looks like it's getting worse. Here he is on the mountain worshiping. Here he's on the mountain enjoying the work of God, watching God work, watching God rise. Thinking everything's all right in the camp, but when he gets back, everything's right opposite out of what took place on the mountain. And it makes him want to throw down everything he got on the mountain and say, "Forget it."
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Is anybody listening to the preacher tonight? Hallelujah. So he buried 3,000. Not only did he bury 3,000, but in verse 35, the Lord plagued the people because of what they'd done. In other words, there was a plague that went on, you know, upon them for the rest of their days. Amen. And slowly and surely there were those that died according to that plague that was upon him. And Moses said, "Now I've got to bear this plague."
Yeah.
Is anybody hearing me? Not only did he break the tablets, did he burn the calf, did he bury the 3,000, but he's bearing, thank God, the plague. See, he's the leader, amen, of this people. He's the shepherd, under shepherd, over this sheep. Oh, y'all listening to the preacher tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, my. And it's his responsibility, thank God, under the direction of God, to lead them, to show them to where Canaan is. Oh, are you hearing me? And it looks like here on the very mountain where he first saw the glory of God, and he thought it'd be so good, it's turning out bad. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Then I want you to notice in verse number 3 of chapter 33, not only does he have those things in 32, but in chapter 33, amen. I'm just going to have to quit somewhere. I won't ever get through tonight. In chapter 33, amen, he's under, amen, a burden because the Lord said, "I'll send my angel," in verse 2, "before you." But he said in verse 3, "I will not go up in the midst of thee." And what happens next is God removes the tabernacle out of the midst of the children of Israel and puts it on the outside of the camp. And Moses said, "Oh Lord, oh Lord, there's a burden on me because your presence is not among us anymore." Anybody hearing me? I'm going to tell you, friend, it doesn't matter how great dynamic the preacher is. It doesn't matter the personality you bring in. It doesn't matter the singers you get to sing. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter the games and the gimmicks, thank God, and the programs that you put on. If God's presence is not in the midst of His people, it is a burden to that man that's trying to lead His people. If there's anything the man of God strives after, hallelujah! Surely He wants His people to live holy. Surely He wants His people to do right and be in unity. But oh, above all of that, He desires the presence of God. For nothing that we endeavor to do can be accomplished without the divine presence and power of God. And when it's not there because of our sin, and we must be in stiff-necked, what a burden it is to that man that's tried to carry that people and lead that people without the presence and the power of God. Amen. Just trying to preach now a little bit. Amen. And then here's the last thing, the last straw that broke the camel's back. In verse number 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. I got them this far. When I seen your glory in the burning bush, you did wonders and miracles and judgments, 10 of them, in the land of Egypt. And you, whoa, what wonder it was at the Red Sea. And what wonder it is, I bet you gave us man and all that stuff. And how wonderful it was to be on the mountain with you. But oh Lord, all this has took place. And I can't bear this people. I don't know how to bring them. And if you're not going to go with us, if your presence is not going to be among us, yet you told me to bring them." He said, "Lord, I ain't God who's going to go with me. Because I can't go by myself." Amen. Hallelujah. Bless His name. Never let the man of God in your church feel like he's the only one bearing the load and the burden. If you do, you'll kill him. You'll absolutely kill him. Is anybody hearing me tonight? Somebody better pray for him. Somebody better hold his hands. Somebody better lift him up. Oh, y'all hear me tonight? Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? He cannot do it by himself. He must have God's help, but he also needs the help of the people of God. Well, I'm just there. I don't know. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And if he is as spiritual as you are, if he is as faithful as you are, amen, if he was as giving as you are, thank God, what kind of preacher would you have? You tell me. Somebody said that he's a pastor. All of us are responsible. All of us have our place in the body of Christ. And he never meant for the man of God, though he is the under shepherd. And though, thank God, he has, my friend, he's over the flock. Are y'all hearing me? Though he is the bishop and the elder and the overseer, I never meant for him to carry the load by himself.
Anybody listening to the preacher? I'm just there. I don't know why. Hallelujah. And so he said, "Lord, you've not yet showed me who will go with me." And he said, "I want to find grace in your sight." He said, "You've told me that you know my name and that I found grace in your sight. And if I found grace in your sight, then go with me, Lord, and do something for this people. Make of them a great nation. Don't leave us stranded here. Woo! Don't leave us to ourselves. Don't just send your angel up before us, but, oh, in your mercy, in your graciousness, in your faithfulness." Come on down here. Woo! "Pardon their iniquity. I'll blot out their transgression." Anybody hearing me tonight? Hallelujah. And the Lord said, "I will go with you. My presence shall go with you." And he said, "Well, if you don't go, then I don't carry us hence." And he said, "Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory." In other words, would you show me what I had when you first sent me to Egypt? Would you let me see what he... And he said, "I'll tell you something, Moses. Can't see my face and live, but tell you what I'll do." He said, "There's a place by me." May not be a place in the camp for you. May not be a place with Joshua and with Aaron and with Miriam and with the people.
Hallelujah. But he said, there's a place for me. Hallelujah. Now, he already had somewhat of that experience because he had to go out of the midst of the congregation to go to the tabernacle. Oh, I tell you what a sad day has become in many of our churches where you have to go off by yourself to get enough, thank God, to get by because you can't get into the house of God. Because the Lord's presence is not there. Oh, I go a lot of places. I don't get filled up. I don't get help. Thank God. Oh, I don't get admonished. I don't get exhorted. Thank God. I get drugged down. Amen. That's exactly right. It's like plugging into something and they drain every bit that's in me and I have to go back to the mountain and pray. Are y'all hearing me tonight? I ought not to be that way. The house of God among the people of God ought to be a place where God's presence is manifested and you get some help and you get some strength and you get some encouragement. Hallelujah. And you get some love. Oh, hallelujah. And you get some strength for the journey. It's the purpose of the church. Amen. Oh my. Oh, help us, Lord. And he said, there's a place by me. That's what I wanted to preach on. I've done preach too much. I should be through and I hadn't even started. There's a place by me. First of all, there's a place by me where you can see my glory. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. You may not have seen nothing in the camp but the dancing around the golden calf and nakedness and death, amen, and the plague. Woo! Hallelujah. But he said, there's a place by me and I'll show you my glory. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, and Moses went back up that mountain. Thank God. And the Lord said, here's what I'll do for you, Moses. He said, I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. Yeah. Amen. And he said, I'll put my hand over you. And then he said, I'll pull my hand away and you can see my hinder parts, for no man can see my face and live. Yeah. But that'll be my glory.
That's right.
And I believe that's exactly what he did for Moses. What do y'all think? Oh, isn't that what Christ did for us? Hallelujah. Oh, He is the cleft of the rock. Hallelujah. And He put us in His precious side. Thank God where we have come forth water and blood. He put us in that side. Thank God. And then put His hand over us. The hand that had the prints. Whoa. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank God. Thank God. And when He pulled back the hand, thank God we could see His glory. What Moses actually saw was God walking away from him. God's hinder part could not meet him, thank God, face to face, or could not meet him walking, thank God, down this road and him walking that way. Oh, Moses couldn't do that, but he could see him go away. And it is enough of the glory of God to see His hinder parts and to make Him say, I can lead them on. I can take come on. I can finish the job. Anybody hear me tonight? Hallelujah. God hit him in the cliff of the rock because God's glory can never be seen until the flesh and the natural man is completely hidden by God. If any of my flesh or your flesh is exposed, hey God, I want to gain the glory. Oh, hallelujah. I'll share the glory. God won't let us see His glory. But if the flesh gets hid, if the flesh, hey God, in the natural man is covered in the cleft of the rock and by His hand, God will let us see His glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So I try to get all flesh out of worship. It's hard to do. It'll crop up somewhere. It's about the best you can do. There'll be four or five testifying the Holy Ghost, then somebody get up and brag on the devil. Hallelujah. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Somebody will be in the flesh. Somebody will be carnal. Amen. Hallelujah. But oh, isn't it amazing when that flesh, that natural man gets hid in God, you can see His glory. 1 Corinthians 1:29 said, God allows no flesh to glory in His presence. Are y'all hearing me? Oh, God will let us see His glory when we give Him all the glory back.
Right.
When we say it's all Him, it's not us.
Yeah.
It wasn't Him that preached. It wasn't her that sung. Thank God it wasn't Him that testified. It wasn't them that prayed.
Yeah.
Hey, it was God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He did it all. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. You always tell a service when you start out, whether it's just stirred up the religious mind or the religious flesh. Thank God, or whether it's been God. If it just stirred up the religious mind and the religious flesh and impressed it, thank God, people go out and say, man, didn't he preach today? What a sermon. Or my, didn't he or she sing today? Never heard such singing. Did you hear that testimony or that prayer? Amen. Thank God you see him shout. But when they walk out and say, I'm telling you, God was here this morning. I never saw it on this fashion. Amen. Oh, God did it, I'll tell you. Then you know the flesh has been hidden and you've seen the glory of God. Hallelujah. There's a place by Him where we can see His glory. I'll tell you, the greatest need of the church, the greatest need of believers, preachers, and saints, thank God, in this day, as we are bombarded on every side with discouragement and despondency, thank God, in defeat, is for us again how to get back to that place that's by Him, amen, and see His glory. And I'm glad it's available to us. Apparently, not only is there a place to see His glory, there's a place to suffer for His glory. You read in the book of Hebrews, let me read it to you tonight, Hebrews chapter 13. Hallelujah. The writer of Hebrews wrote to the Hebrew believers and he said these words. Amen. He said, for the body of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. And here's what the Bible said. Let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. Can I tell you, there's not only a place to see His glory, there's a place to suffer for His glory. Are y'all hearing me tonight? You mean suffering and glory go together? Always has. And always will. Amen. I like the glory part. I don't like the suffering part. But to get the glory part, got to go through the suffering part. Woo! And once you get to the glory part, you'll say the suffering's worth it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, 1 Peter chapter 2. Amen. For this is thankworthy. Verse 19, if a man for conscience sake toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults? You shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and you suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable unto God. Hallelujah. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in His steps. You know what Jesus told the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Oh, God help us. Let me find it. Amen. He said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? Are y'all hearing me tonight? There's a place to see His glory, but there's also a place to suffer for His glory. Amen. Oh, a lot of folks don't want to take that step. They don't want to mature towards God like that. But the Apostle Paul, amen, oh, in Philippians chapter 3 said, I want to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Is anybody hearing me tonight? Hallelujah. Can I say this also tonight? Hallelujah. Suffering does not always mean chastisement. Suffering does not mean a person is in disobedience. Many times, suffering is following His example, following His steps. Amen. Hallelujah. Suffering for His glory. Hallelujah. We bought into that health and wealth. Thank God. Amen. We bought into that name and claim it crowd. Thank God that acts like if any problem arises, if there's any suffering, something must be wrong with you. Something may be right with you if you suffer for His sake. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. That's what that good book said. Amen. Hallelujah. How about Romans 8:16? The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God, join heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Oh, if we suffer, we'll reign. That's what He said. Hallelujah. I'm preaching to you the best I know how. The truth of God's Word tonight. Amen. Paul said, I want to know Him in the fellowship of His suffering. Amen. Oh my. Thank God. Oh. Amen. Can I say to you, not only did Christ put us in the cleft of the rock in His side, cover us with His hand, and let us see the glory. By the way, I preached it here before. By the way, all the glory you've ever seen of God is where He has been. Hallelujah. Calvary, the empty tomb. Oh, are y'all listening to me tonight? Oh, bless His name tonight. Thank God. Hallelujah. Oh, all we've seen is where He has been. But there'll come a day when we'll see Him as He is. Thank God. And it'll not be behind the parts, but face to face. It'll be, thank God, not what He has done, but what He's doing and what He's done. Anybody care? Hallelujah. How would you fellowship with His suffering? He wanted Thomas to do it. Thomas wasn't there. First time He appeared after His resurrection. And so He came back 8 days later. He said, Thomas, it's me. He said, tell you what I want you to do. Put your fingers in my prints that's in my hand. And He said, take your hand and thrust it into my side. And know it's me. You know how you fellowship with His suffering? You put your hand. He's already put you in His body. But you willingly say, I'll suffer. I'll go without the camp bearing your reproach. I'll suffer for your glory. Let me put my hand in the inside.
Yeah.
And fellowship with your suffering.
Yeah.
Is anybody hearing me tonight?
Yeah.
Now. Hallelujah. Bless His name. The soldier pierced His side. Forthwith came water and blood. I think what he did is he pierced this side. I believe he pierced the heart. I believe he pierced the organs. Amen. So he could make sure he was dead. Anybody hearing me?
Yeah.
So I want to tell you something. When you fellowship with the sufferings of Christ, when you're willing to go forth without the count bearing His reproach and reach that hand in thither and fellowship with His suffering, you know what? When you reach in there, you know what you'll touch? His heart. Oh, if anything touches the heart of God, it's the saints that suffer with Him. Oh, help my soul tonight, dear Lord. Oh, thank God. And in that hour, He'll give grace. In that hour, He'll give strength. In that hour, hallelujah. Thank God, you will experience a fellowship that you cannot experience anywhere else.
Amen.
There'll be a sweetness. There'll be a, thank God, a camaraderie. There'll be a companionship. There'll be a fellowship there that you can't find anywhere else but in the suffering with Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, bless you. That's the only way you get to His heart is with your hand through that side. Anybody hear me tonight? I'm almost through. Amen. Bless His name. Oh. Brother Mark started I'm going to finish it. I don't mean that in the wrong way. I submit. He started with this verse, this passage I want to finish with tonight. Isn't that amazing how his heart has been running together this way? Mercy and grace and blindness and darkness. And hallelujah. Oh, that's our Lord tonight. Not only is there a place where you can see His glory, not only is there a place that you can suffer for His glory, but there's a place where you can share His glory. And ain't here. Because flesh can't glory in His presence. But there's a place where the flesh won't be. I'm telling you, I'd shout on that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, the body of this death. This wretched man that I am here, he won't be there. Not the body of this death, hallelujah. Not that it's cursed under sin, hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Brother Mark started it out. It's John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. A place where you can share my glory. Oh, before His death, He said, Father, glorify me now with the glory that I had with you before the world began. Anybody hearing me tonight? And He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's where we're headed tonight. We can not only see His glory while we're struggling here like Moses, we not only can suffer for His glory if we're willing to go without the camp, but I'm glad one day we'll share. Hey God, there's a place where we'll share His glory. It will be glory by and by. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know all about that place, but I know it's going to be a place where we will share His glory. Now He said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go there amongst those mansions, or in those mansions, to prepare a place for you. Anybody hear me tonight? Now you think about God. He made the earth. It took 6 days to make earth and man. Hallelujah. And He said, it's good. It's good. It's good. When He made man, He says, very good. Amen. But you get Genesis chapter 2. Though He had made earth and it was good and very good, the Bible said in verse number 8, and He planted a garden eastward in Eden and put the man that He had made or formed in that garden. It looks like, though the whole earth, thank God, was Adam's, God had a particular place. Would you like the garden that God planted? Hallelujah. Oh, He created the earth, but He planted the garden. Hallelujah. And put man there. What a place. A place where the Shekinah glory covered Adam and Eve, and they could not see their nakedness, and God could fellowship with them in the cool of the day. Anybody hear me tonight? Oh, Lord. And so for Adam, He planted a garden. Hallelujah. For the children of Israel, His covenant people, His earthly elect people. Thank God, He made a land, and He called it a land flowing with milk and honey. Is anybody hearing me? Hallelujah. Bless His name. But can I tell you, the best is yet to come? For His bride. Woo! Thank God. For that one that He bought with His own blood. Hallelujah. For that one He purchased at Calvary. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to prepare you a place, and I'll come back and get you, and we'll go to that place, and I'll share my glory with you. Because we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And all the glory that's His will be ours. He'll share it. Are y'all hearing me tonight? That's beyond my comprehension tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. No wonder I used to hear them saints after they'd got feeble. And church where I grew up in, they'd get feeble and old, and they'd stand up, or sometimes they'd get up on the stage, and with their walking canes, or they'd hold on to their walker, they'd stand up and hold a pew, and they'd say, toil and in pain I must endure till the Lord shall call, but heaven will surely be worth it all. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Hallelujah. Oh, it's all the toil that we have in this life. I'm glad, thank God, there's a place where we'll share in His glory. Yeah.
if we're saved by the grace of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, I long for that day. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Oh, goodness. Amen. Oh, He shared with us and for us. Amen. And now we'll be able to share with Him in His glory. Share in His suffering, we'll share in His glory. Amen. What about you tonight? Do you have that consolation? Do you have that assurance? Hallelujah. We know that if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have another building. A house eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know that tonight? Oh my. Oh, tonight. Will you look to Him as your only and all-sufficient Savior tonight? And would you look to Him as a saint of God, as you may be like Moses in a bad way, facing the rest of the leg of the journey and wondering how you're going to make it if you don't see His glory? He's telling you there's a place by Him where you can see it. And that'll give you the courage, the strength, amen, the fortitude, how to finish the journey and get all the way to Canaan. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Would you like to say, Lord, I'll go without the camp and suffer for Your glory. I'd like to put my hand in Your side and touch Your heart. Hallelujah. Oh my. And oh, what a consolation to one day share in His glory. Let's all stand. We'll sing a verse of song. If you need to pray, the altar's open to you tonight. If you're unsaved, the Lord spoke to you. If you're unprepared, if you don't have the assurance of sharing His glory with Him after this life is over. I tell you what, if you don't, somebody said, well, I just won't share His glory. But that's not all there is. If that was all, you know, if you just didn't share His glory, then you just go out of existence. But if you don't share in His glory, you'll share the torments and the damnation of the eternal lake of fire. Anybody hearing me tonight? Amen. One of two places. You're going to need to share His glory, be in heaven with Him, or be in that place of outer darkness and eternal torment and damnation where there's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. And God's mercy and glory never reaches. Sinner, would you come? Child of God, do you need to pray tonight? Has the Lord spoke to you? Would you come? Obey the Lord, whatever your need. Whatever the burden of prayer in your heart, would you come tonight? Sing whenever you get ready. The message is yours tonight. Would you come?